This is the Blind Entrepreneur Podcast, where we help entrepreneurs and business professionals execute their vision by guiding them to profitability. On this episode, we are talking to Devana Stimson. And on the episode, we're going to learn about how art can transform your life, how you can become the gangstar creative you were born to be, and living a life through love and partnership. Enjoy today's episode.
Let's go.
Hey, Devana, how are you? Welcome to the show.
Hey, what's happening? I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Another beautiful day in paradise. Before we get into the heavy hitting questions, though, I have to start the podcast off the same way we do every single time. So imagine you just had the absolute best. Imagine you just had the absolute best day of your life, right? Your best day. Where are you going to eat? And what are you going to order to make your day complete?
Ooh, that's a good one. Where would I eat? I would probably eat, my current favorite restaurant is a restaurant called Catch LA in Los Angeles. So I'd probably go there. And what would I eat specifically? There are lobster mashed potatoes because my favorite food is potatoes. And I would eat anything potato.
Not bad. Lobster mashed potatoes. That sounds pretty freaking epic if you ask me.
It's good.
That's awesome. Well, good stuff. So the first real question of the podcast is, tell me about a time that you felt lost or blind in business. And how did you overcome that obstacle?
Yeah, so that's a really good first deep question. And I feel like the first time I ever felt lost was when me and my husband we first started the company Strive and Grind Boutique, and we didn't really know what we were doing, right? So it originally started out as like this blog. We wanted to educate, motivate, and inspire millennials specifically, you know, teach them about entrepreneurship, business, finances, all that stuff. And we had a clothing line. We were doing a lot of different things. We had something cool. We threw events. We had college chapters. And we were like, yo, we got this cool ass brand, but we're not making any money at all. So, you know, we ended up coming over to California. We're like, okay, this is where all the entrepreneurs are. All these people are making money with these online businesses. It's like, we have something cool. We know how to brand, but what are we doing here? We need to make money. We need to be able to quit our day jobs and do the damn thing. So we ended up hiring a business coach. And what he told us, long story short, was that we should focus on branding because it's something that we're good at. But we have way too many things going on. We need to focus on one thing so people or they knew what we did and refer business to us. And when he said that, I was like, oh, I don't know. Because, you know, my background is in graphic design. I've been doing graphic design, web design ever since I was like in middle school. I created my first website when I was in the fourth grade. And, you know, I created my life around becoming this badass graphic designer. And then when I got older, I realized that's not something I wanted to do. And so when he's over here saying like, you should do a branding company, a branding agency, I'm like, that's like what I didn't want to do, but I know that this is what I'm good at. And I know that this is where we can actually help entrepreneurs thrive and succeed because most entrepreneurs suck at branding. They just kind of have the idea and they run with it, but they never do the brand strategy and like all the branding and all the design stuff typically looks bad. So I would say in that moment was like one of the first big moments where I felt blinded because I was like, I don't know if this is something that I want to do. I don't even know if this is going to work. And then, I mean, in the end, and the right thing for the next 2 years that we started building that company.
Yeah, that's really cool. One thing in particular that I've noticed, and I've done my research ahead of time before interviewing you, is that you're incredibly talented at painting and in the arts. So what is it about painting that has now allowed you to work on a newer project that I'm sure you're excited to talk about?
Yeah. So for me, being that, you know, I said a little bit that my background was in graphic design, I thought everything to be like in my life, in my future, my career was going to be all digital. I didn't even care about like fine arts or painting, but I'd always see work and murals outside and be like, dang, like I wish I could do that. That looks dope. Like those people are so talented. And when I was in college, things kind of lined up in a way where I couldn't get into the graphic design classes that I needed. So I ended up taking like this painting class, not really thinking much of it. And so I took it and realized I could paint. And then I realized like, oh shit, like I could actually do this too. I can do what I've like always admired. I could create the same type of work. And for me, it was something that, you know, I was like, okay, this is really what I like doing. I don't really like doing the graphic design stuff. I don't really like working with the clients or freelancing. So I'm going to do this where I feel more free. And I feel more creative where I can actually do the things that I want versus digitally or in the graphic design world. It's like, it's always usually about what the clients want. And so, you know, building Strive and Grind as the branding company, I've got to learn a lot about how agencies work, how to work against, how to manage projects, you know, how to just create overall memorable, disruptive, and badass brands. And what I learned was that anytime I would talk to a creative or fellow artist or other designer or a dancer, whatever, anybody who's like a creative, I would always notice that they'd have usually like a weak mindset where they kind of think like, okay, I'm not going to make it in this world. Nobody wants to buy my stuff. Nobody wants to pay me for my work, or like, I don't know how to sell my work, or just having like a really just negative mindset. Or people would ask me like, how are you running a business? Like, how do you handle clients? Like, how do you organize your time? Like all these different questions. And so that's when I kind of realized like, okay, there's obviously a gap here in this marketplace where creatives don't have the resources to learn business side of things and to learn mindset. I mean, there was this one time where me and my husband, we went to LA, we went to an art show. And it was this really dope art show. All these female artists came together. There was really cool art in the room. But as we were around, either the artist wasn't at their booth or they're like sitting down like on their phone. And I'm just like, yo, I could be here buying all your art, but you're not talking to me. You're not like trying to sell me, or you're not like just, you know, communicating. And so that kind of made me really sad to where it's like, okay, I want to be able to help creatives basically learn more of the business side of things, learn more about like mindset and success mindset, but specifically to the creatives who actually want it. Cause you have the creatives that are just like, whatever, it's a hobby, but you also have the creatives that actually want to hustle and do it, but they just don't know how. And so for me, like, I'm really excited about creating this movement called Gangstar Creative, where I'm planning to annihilate the status quo of the starving artist and actually helping creatives basically, you know, learn the business side of things.
Yeah, that's good. You mentioned something about positivity and having a positive, you know, mental attitude. To people who may not have a positive mental attitude, and you know, they may not be able to go out there and grab the things that they want to grab. What are some things that you would recommend to get into a better mindset?
Yeah, good question. Well, I think for everybody it's different, but for me it's kind of like just doing what you like and doing what puts you in like that happy space. I mean, meditation's a big one. And I don't mean just meditating like the, you know, just sitting down and breathing and like listening to like the audios, like that's cool. But what other things that you do can actually put you in that like peace of mind and kind of clear your mind? And so for me, it's either doing like audio meditations and doing the breathing. But for me, I love dancing. And so that kind of puts me in like a positive, happy zone. Even just spending time alone, whether like I'm driving or if I'm just journaling or reading, like that kind of puts me in a more positive, happy zone. And also just listening to other people's stories and interviews, reading like autobiography where like I get to learn about others succeed, to where it makes me feel like what I'm doing is worth it and what am I doing, it's possible.
Yeah, that's cool. I would agree with that. It's a good way to have that positive attitude. One of the hardest things to do in business is to obtain your first 100 customers. I'm sure you've done it and then some with Strive and Grind. You're about to do it with the new business. what are some techniques, what are some strategies that you guys used in all businesses, and what do you recommend to other people in order for them to obtain their first 100 customers?
Yeah, that's a cool question, because I don't even think in Strive and Grind we've had exactly like 100 customers, but because we are a premium boutique, we charge a lot, so we don't need to have a lot of customers at one time. But the big thing for us is, like, you know, online, Facebook, you see all these people with online businesses running Facebook ads, throwing webinars, like everything's all so you're like, okay, we're only gonna like webinars, having our lead magnets, like creating funnels and all this stuff. But at the end of the day, it was like, you can make money offline too. Like, you can focus on your actual network. You can focus on those in-person conversations. And for us at the time, it was like, the webinars weren't working. Nothing was working that we were doing digitally. And we were like, okay, we need to just suck it up, face our fears, hop on the phone, talk to people, message people on Facebook, go to more networking events and connect with people and other people who we want to work with, specifically entrepreneurs, and talk to those people. Do you think branding help? And then have conversation up and actually just like have conversations. I feel like too many people hide behind the computer screen to where there's so much opportunity where you can be in person or just on the phone and actually talking to people. And I think I'm going to do the same thing when it comes to building the new brand with Gangstar Creative, is focusing on my network, focusing on going to events, meetups or whatever, where I have other creatives, like where my audience is going to be, and having those conversations, adding value, connecting with people, and then doing like the online advertising after.
So what I found is the offline world should be intertwined with the online world. What is a good way, like for me talking, hearing you talking to you, you sound like a very personable person, right? Yeah. It seems like you have a good personality and you're welcoming, so people will, you know, be able to talk to you and open up. But, you know, maybe there's people out there that aren't as gifted as you are in, they may not be as gifted as you are in that regard. So, what would you recommend to people to show their personality, through the internet and connect through their audience? Like, what are some techniques that you would recommend for us to do?
Yeah, well, that's an easy question to answer, because it really just comes down to creating a brand for yourself. Even if like you own a company, or if like you are a personal brand and you should already have been working on this, but having your own brand where online, whether you're posting to Facebook and social media consistently, you're creating videos, you're actually messaging the people that you're friending or people who are friending you. It's like, create this persona that's, you know, like you, but it's more of like you, you know, just with a little extra pizzazz and extra sauce added to it. Because, you know, people, especially creatives in general, they're like, oh, I'm introverted. Like, I don't know how to talk to people. I can't communicate. Nobody wants to talk to me, whatever. But it's like, look, yeah. So, like, learn how to turn on your introverts. That's what I like to call it. Because for me, I'm an introvert, but I know how to turn my extroverted switch on. That's something that I work on. It's something that I'm, you know, actually intentionally observant on. I watch other people and how they connect with people. I watch how people have conversations, and I use that to help me with my communication and my social skills. So online specifically, it's like, bring that out on video, bring that out in your written posts, and have a specific message that you're trying to get out for your brand and your business.
Yeah. So you said, bring out your verts. Is that what you said?
You said what?
The phrase that you said, bring out your verts. Is that what you said?
Yeah, like bringing out your extroverted self, like that's turning cool on your extroverted switch.
I never heard of it that way. I appreciate that. I like that new approach. So is there, this is more of like a random question, getting away from the business aspect, but is there anybody in the world of business that you would like to meet to further develop your business acumen? I'll rephrase the question. So, is there anybody that you would like to meet to further help your business along, and why would you like to meet them?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think right now I'd be really interested in meeting Chase Jarvis. He's like a world renowned photographer. He has a platform called Creative Live. He's kind of doing a lot of similar things to what I want to do, but just on a bigger scale because he's been doing it for a long time. So I think meeting him or people like him will help me in building my business and building my movement, Gangstar Creative, and learning how I can actually help creatives and help, you know, tap into their psyche and really know what will actually work for them.
Yeah, that's cool. That would be interesting collaboration. So the next segment that I'm going to present to you is I've done my research on you and I've learned a lot about you, primarily through Instagram. So I've done my job. I've done my job of stalking. So I've picked a couple of photos from your Instagram account.
Okay.
What I'm going
to do. Oh man, I'm nervous right now.
Is ask a couple of questions based off of the questions that I showed to you. Don't worry, they're all good. And you've actually alluded to a lot of it. So kind of, I'm glad that I picked the questions that I did. Okay. This one in particular is you. I'm assuming that's you, right?
Yeah, that's me.
Okay. I guess my first question, number one, how the hell are you able to do that? My second thing is dance. You talk about creativity and showing your creative self over and over again today, which is great. But what is it about dance in particular that once you're dancing, you know, what is that emotion that you feel?
Yeah. So for that specifically, when I was younger, I was a gymnast first, and then I wanted to learn how to like B-girl and break dance. So I had a friend that taught me a little bit, but then I learned that it takes a lot of time and dedication to do that. So I stopped doing it. And then what was the question, the second part of the question about dance, like what?
How do you feel? How do you feel when you're getting out into the stage or out in front of a large group of people and you're just doing your own thing, you're just dancing?
Yeah, I think it's just a feeling of like freedom and excitement. And it's weird because even as an introvert, I like being the center, like in the center of attention only, like, or in the spotlight when, you know, I'm supposed to be, but not all the time. So then I know that I can dance. I know that people like being entertained, and dancing usually makes people happy. So that's where like, I feel like my happy place is. And even if it's not like, I don't really perform, I'm not like a professional dancer or anything like that, but even like going out with girls or friends or even at networking events, like I'll be the first one on the dance floor. And I like to look at myself and like in a way where I want to set the example for those people who may be like, man, I love dancing too, or I want to do this too, but I'm too scared to, or will people judge me? And I always tell myself in those moments of like fear or doubt of like, you know, I'm thinking those same things, but I'm like, somebody has to do it and somebody has to like put themselves out there. And so that's kind of like how I look at it.
Yeah, that's cool. I wouldn't join you on the dance floor.
You wouldn't, or you would?
I wouldn't. No,
nobody. I would make you.
Nobody wants to see you dance. With all due respect, of course, I'm sure you're a great dancer. So the next one is you in a picture of a fine gentleman. So you know, something that I've seen repeatedly throughout your feed is the aspect of family. And you know how much love that you and your husband have with one another. You know, what has your relationship, how has that been able to help ground you and become a better entrepreneur and an even better person?
Yeah. So me and my husband now, we've been together for a little over 11 years. We were high school sweethearts. We're originally from Virginia Beach and we met on MySpace. So
nice.
It's been an interesting journey because one, we grew up together. So like kids, 15 turning 16, 16 turning 17, like into, you know, mature adults, having that journey together is something unique and different on its own. And then second, actually building a business together is its whole like journey on its own as well. And being married, and it's like, it's changed me and it's been, you know, actually made me who I am today because he's my other half. He's my best friend. He's my, you know, my lover, my business partner, my everything. And so it's interesting, you know, when you actually have a journey like that, because of course, like, I've grown, of course he's helped me grow, and of course he's helped me become who I am today. And I think it's more for the better, because even though we've had lots of ups and downs, as any relationship does, although I think we had a lot more because one, we were growing up from kids to adults, and another, because we're running a business, we've got to learn a lot about, like, who we are and what we actually want to do, especially reaching this point. I think, you know, between our 20, like 25 to 30 is usually the time where you're like really finding yourself and really figuring out what you do. And, you know, that's the big reason why I'm transitioning out of the Strive and Grind business, because I realized, you know, this isn't working well for us as a relationship, as for our relationship. And I want to do, you know, my own thing, and I want to do the stuff that I'm like super, super passionate about. So yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Smart. It's smart that it's good that you brought it in, sooner rather than later. This picture in particular is, a piece of art that I found, and I'm hopeful that you did this.
Yes.
Which I think I was almost positive you did based off of your, your caption, but, you know, again, art, you're incredibly talented. What are some type of art that you're looking for, and what do you think is the future of design as a whole?
Yeah. For me, I'm always attracted to like colorful, abstract, kind of urban, graffiti-ous, contemporary art. As far as like the direction of where art and design is going, that's kind of a hard one to answer, because I always feel like it's evolving in so many different ways, especially with the internet. Like, everybody, there's Instagram, right? And there's so many more artists out there showing their work, and so many people are doing different things. So I'm not sure what the exact direction that's going. I think people are going to be continue to create awesome stuff. There's going to be a lot of bad art because of the technology and social media out there. You're starting to see a lot more of like not that great of art. But then on the other hand, you're seeing like a lot of good creative work that's being put out there, and people are actually getting noticed that deserve it, that maybe wouldn't have got recognized before.
Yeah. The last question is,
you went back.
Yeah, man, I told you, I did my research. I was trying to find some cool stuff. So
that's funny.
This is you to people who are listening right now. This is a video, it is a video, but I snapped a photo of it, of you walking on glass. I'm sure we've all done these crazy things in life where we just had to do something to, you know, have that thrill. You walking on glass, is there anything else that you had in mind that you might want to do in the future to kind of get that adrenaline and that sense of accomplishment, that bucket list check? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What was the last part of what you said? You kind of broke up a little bit.
Sorry about that. The bucket list. So like, is it like a bucket list thing that like, you know what, I want to do this? Because I think that's pretty cool. I don't know if I would do that, but that was awesome.
It's actually not as scary or as bad as it looks. It sounds terrifying, but it's really not that bad. But for something that's like on the bucket list, that's like super crazy that I would want to do, I think I've been like going back and forth on skydiving. My husband would never do something like that. And of course, that's something that I'd want to do with him. But I feel like it'd just be one of those things where if I could do that, I could literally do anything. And I know so many people that have skydived. I don't know if you've done it before, but I don't know. It's like scary, but I heard it's really quick and it's like amazing at the same time. So I don't know.
I'm sure it would be awesome. I have done that like skydiving inside thing, and that was pretty insane. But yeah, I mean, I feel like it's gotta be cool to kind of do those things to kind of bring your center balance back to you, to, you know, do something cool, do something that most people would say insane, to kind of like, you know, ground you, so to speak. What are your thoughts on that?
On what, doing things to ground you?
Yeah, being things like that are outlavish that would ground you.
I mean, I think everybody should do something like that, especially if you're starting a business or you're an entrepreneur. I mean, entrepreneurship is all about taking risks. It's all about doing things that scare you. It's all about, you know, falling on your face and getting up and doing crazy things like that is, I think, essential to help kind of like build, you know, your risk taking.
Sure. No, absolutely. So that leads me to the final question that I have for you today. And you just gave incredible advice right there, but I'm going to ask for additional pieces of advice from you. So the Blind Entrepreneur podcast was created for individuals who may be temporarily lost in business or blind in business. They're stuck internally and cannot see the obvious. So to those individuals, what are three pieces of advice that you would give to a fellow entrepreneur?
Ooh, three pieces of advice. I would say for one would be to be patient. As an entrepreneur, with all the online businesses out there, it's easy just to think like the success happens overnight. It's easy to see like people's overnight success by looking at everybody's lifestyles, looking at everybody's posts, looking at everybody. That it's a really long, rough journey to be an entrepreneur, especially if you want to be a successful one. The only people who like actually get rich quick or actually create like one of a kind brands and businesses is like one in a million. So be patient in whatever you're doing. It would be the first one. The second one would be consistent in what you're doing. And so again, especially as an entrepreneur, we're kind of like squirrels where we have like a shit ton of ideas. It's like, oh my gosh, I should do this. And then you start doing this and you're like, oh my gosh, I should do this. And I should do this. And then you also are absorbing a lot of information. If you read a lot of books, listen to a lot of podcasts, go to a lot of events, become conference junkies or whatever. It's like you have all of this information and it usually, you know, makes you go in a ton of different directions. So if you're not consistent, no one's going to know what the hell you do. You're probably not going to be successful in your business and you're probably not going to make enough money to have the freedom that you want in your life. So be patient, be consistent. And then the third advice would be have intentional observation. The biggest reason why I am where I am today, or my husband as well, is because we were intentional and observant on, you know, what we wanted to do, who we wanted to become and where we wanted to be and who we want to be connected with. Because when we went to like our first entrepreneur conference, we knew who was going to be there. We did, you know, intentional observating of like, who's going to be at the event, who's going to be speaking, who can we connect with, what is this person's needs, how are other people connecting with these influencers, how are other people doing business, and just like just being intentional and being observant on how other people are where they are and doing those same exact things, just kind of like in your own way. So
That's great pieces of advice coming from a seasoned entrepreneur for sure. But thank you so much for your time and talking about your experiences and business and life and everything in between. I'd like to give you the next 30 seconds for you to promote anything you have going on. Tell people how they can learn more about you, how they can be a part of the journey, and potentially become a customer, buy some of your artwork, whatever you got going on.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, in a nutshell, you can find me at devonastimson.com. Follow me on Instagram, YouTube. I'm building up my brand. I'm currently transitioning out of my branding company, but it's if you need branding, if you need a memorable, disruptive, badass brand, and you want to create a premium brand and charge high prices, check out striveandgrind.com as well. The branding boutique is awesome, and we're always helping entrepreneurs create dope premium brands. So definitely follow me, message me if you got anything out of this interview, and thank you so much for having me. I had a lot of fun.
That's good. I appreciate your time. But to those that are still watching and listening, thank you guys for always liking, commenting, and subscribing. Don't forget to subscribe to the podcast on YouTube and head over to theblindentrepreneur.com for more interviews. Being blind in business is temporary, but I hope after listening to the podcast today, you can see more clearly. Go out there and execute your vision. Have a good rest of your day.